marketing.
This conference will.
The whole concept behind social marketing is, of course, taking advantage of all the tools out there, the Facebook, the LinkedIn, the blogs, the Twitters, all the things that are available for us to socially interact with people. And it's very important to understand the sophistication of this today, so far greater than 10 years ago. In fact, off the charts differential. Just with Facebook alone, there's over 550 million members on Facebook. And if you just took Facebook, and if Facebook could be a country in the world, they would be the third largest country in the whole world today with the quantity of people that are members on Facebook. So that just gives you an idea of the volume of what Facebook represents. And I know some of you are probably like me that when I first got started with it a couple years back, it was I really couldn't stand it because I didn't want to know when a person went to the bathroom, and I saw so many posts that were so ridiculous. So when Lydia showed it, was showing me around some of my stepdaughters and other things, and I was like, I could care less that she's going to go shopping to buy a new purse today. I was fed up. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm going to waste my time on this garbage. And I was like, that was it. But there's so many useful ways of using it. So it's now time to get in there and tackle it as a real tool for yourself. And the importance of doing that is crucial, because it's really a level of communication that if you just walk away from and say, I'm not going to do social media at all, you're giving up on a huge opportunity to do some business. So it's learning how to be effective at it, not just ignoring it or treating it as non-existent. And I read a great article that, in fact, if you guys get Network Marketing Times, if you do or don't, whatever, but Network Marketing Times for Jan-Feb this year is all totally dedicated to social networking. So there are a lot of good articles in there, and I read through a bunch of them. And one that really stood out for me to just share with you is the one about presenting yourself online by Jackie Ulmer. And she talked about, and of course, she's been big, huge in network marketing. She now does offline, online network marketing coaching, and authored the book, The Power of Recruiting, How to Sponsor Your Dream Team in Social Networking. So there's a lot of she's done a lot of work in this area, very knowledgeable. So I thought I would just share with you some of the things she said, and then add some other things that could support you and help you as you go forward, and give you some more ideas of where to get more information as well. Most of you have already started in this realm. Some of you are newbies. Some of you are halfway, you got your toe in. Some have your entire foot in, and some of you are totally drenched. You're underwater with it. So we have all different levels of expertise, and hopefully this will touch base and help people no matter what level you're at. So first, let's kick off. Here's five principles that she established and said, basically after looking at everything that's been going on out there, there are five critical principles to master in order to be successful in your social marketing. And the first principle that she establishes is, don't make social media your entire business. And that's crucial for all of us. No matter what you choose to do, you shouldn't do it like exclusively. And I don't think any of us do anything exclusively, because lifestyle marketing, which is what I call just meeting people on the streets at restaurants, at the grocery stores, all over the place, those are people that you are going to be talking with all the time. You should always be opening the door to making friends no matter where you are. And I kind of refer to it. In fact, last night I was at one of my Bible University classes, and I said, you know what, this is what God wants us all to be. He wants us all to be a bunch of love bunnies out here. We're to love one another. I mean, it's the first and most important commandment. This one is in alignment with that one as well. The most important commandments are love one another, right? And that's one of them. So it's we are supposed to be out there loving on people. So it's an easy thing for me. It's not an easy thing for a lot of people. So, but it's how do I get there? How do I start opening up to people? Well, if love is too big a word for you, then start off with the premise that everybody is a friend. There's no strangers out there. Everybody's a friend you just haven't met yet. And if you open your eyes and take that philosophy towards approaching people, it's a lot more fun, because now it's about Sherlock Holmes. You're trying to find out who they are and more about them, so you can see, number one, how they can contribute in your life, as well as how you can pour into theirs. So lifestyle marketing will always be there for you, and other techniques, whether it's ISCA or it's selling or going after skincare or whatever it might be. But don't isolate exclusively, because then you live or die based on the responses you get with social media. And we have too many other contacts. You want to follow our normal business plan of making your list of all the people you know, and that list should be huge. And then starting to contact them, follow, you know, invite them to a presentation, and then you know, follow up and sign them up and duplicate that process over and over again. So that should be always a part of your game plan. And just tack onto it the idea that you are going to be doing social media or social marketing as well. And when you do social marketing, you want to, you know, it's network marketing is all about leverage, and so is social marketing. And social marketing is something that you do. You use leverage because you want to leverage your presence on the social media site so you can reach the largest audience with the smallest amount of effort. And that's an important concept to develop for you, because too many people get stuck, and that's kind of like what the second principle is. Don't hide behind the Internet. You don't want to get stuck on the Internet, because people really get wrapped up. They get started on the Internet. They get started on Facebook, and 3 hours later, they're exiting. Well, that shouldn't happen to you. That's inexcusable. That's not building a business. That's like just like you're lost in another realm. So you got to be very careful, because I've talked to so many people who do this, and they go, well, Mary Jo, you know, in order to build a relationship, I spend 5-6 hours a day on the Internet, on Facebook, and I'm just going, you know, it's mind-boggling to me. That's not what social media is about. That's where you've gotten trapped on the Internet. It's a tool. The Internet is a tool for connecting. So if you're not connecting, then you don't belong on it. So how do you connect? That's the important thing to do. Some people they set up tools to do the connecting for them. So they have automatic responders, and I'm not saying that some of those can't be effective. There are people that used it effectively in opening Mexico. In fact, Jackie and Vicky Arcady, they did a great amount of work in that area. I mean, it was very, very costly, but they had a group of their people, and I think they signed up 25, 30 people just off the Internet connection. So they got some substantial, but again, it took a lot of time and effort and a lot of money that went into it, and using automated systems of sending people forward. But they always concluded, never, ever did they not have a step in there where they made contact, phone contact. They hired, you know, outside translators if they needed to or whatever, but it's always about phone connection. So it's not something that you want to, you know, have somebody believe that you're just part of a robotic system, because people aren't going to want to go in business with a robot. They want to go in business with a live, breathing human being. So that's the goal, is you want to get yourself across there, and you want to make sure that you're being reflected in what you do on the Internet, and you become you with a person, a real live human being, because that's truly how things happen. Just like that's the best we've always known in network marketing, that it's belly to belly, and it's still, that hasn't changed. So when you're connecting online, when you're online, the idea is to make connections. It's about, you know, posting things on people's walls that are important to them, and making connections with people, and then following up with phone calls so you can actually really have true life interaction. It's not about staying on Facebook for 5-6 hours a day, right? So look at your lifestyle and see what are you doing right, what are you doing wrong about that, how much time, and then see what happens in network marketing is people then justify that, well, I'm really working hard at my business because I do it 5-6 hours a day, I'm on the Internet, on Facebook. And I go, time out, stop. You're already lost. Maybe an hour a day on Facebook. And create the highest and best leverage you can on sites to hit the largest audience in the shortest amount of time. Okay, and then again, always take the next step, which is connecting through the phone calls or face-to-face. If you can, if they're in the local area, you know, go out to lunch with them or something. That's really important. So you want to make face-to-face connection with them. And establish yourself always as a professional, but first and foremost, as a human being. Because, again, people don't want to go into business who's not human. So you want to show your human side. And this gal, Jackie Ulmer, suggested that the maximum you should spend on a daily basis on doing this business is 30 to 60 minutes per day. And avoid, again, getting caught up in all of the paraphernalia and the tools and all the other things that you do once you get on that Facebook. Okay, so don't hide behind it. Make it a short, but always with the key intention of making connections and then getting some kind of face-to-face or phone contact once you've made a connection through social media. Number three, know the difference between marketing and advertising. Jackie talked about, you know, that you want to do your marketing on the website very much the same way you do marketing at a cocktail party. So you don't walk into a cocktail party and go, "Hi, my name is Mary Jo, and I am with Manatech. It's the most awesome company on the face of the earth. We have these phenomenal nutritional breakthrough technology products that can totally change your life, and I need to know if you're interested right now." You know, we're not out there trying to just, you know, be bravado and all the stuff that we like to, we're not looking to have immediate responses in the social website, because that's not the purpose of what Facebook is all about. It's not, people don't put their names out there and their pictures and their web pages and their walls out there for you to blast all over it with your stuff. That's not what they're there for. But remember, first and foremost, that, first of all, that approach doesn't work in real life, no less on Facebook. But more importantly, you got to remember that people aren't there. You know, that's not their idea. It's not about advertising. Okay? So they are just like people that we meet on streets. You know, if you go up on a street and you walk up to somebody and you start advertising and send a bunch of that stuff out, they're just going to walk, turn their backs and walk the other direction. So you want to definitely take the same approach as we suggest here. And what is that? All of you have read Michael Oliver's book, Natural Selling, or you've been on some of my conference calls or training calls regarding that. And the first stage he talks about is what? He talks about the discovery stage. That even in Facebook, our first step is discovery. Get to know the people. And how do we get to know people? We ask questions. So we start off with them, and we talk to them about all sorts of things, and we say, but we're asking them about questions about them. You know, so what do you like to do, or what do you know? So we get questions about them. We get to know the person, and show them that you have a genuine interest in them. And what's the best way to show somebody you have interest in them? Is to ask questions about them. Be interested in them. So, you know, ask questions. See if you can find out more about them, because the number one topic people want to talk about is themselves. So when you do that, the natural result is that they're going to be intrigued and interested in finding out more information about you. So this is a mechanism. Social media is a mechanism where you actually market and promote yourself without ever mentioning your business or products by name. So have real clarity around that. You're marketing you. You're not marketing Manatech. You're not marketing Ambertos. You're marketing you on the social media websites. When they get attracted to you and they get attracted to what you have, then that's when you can start delving into the next level. But your first step on social media is, you know, what is it about you? So if you want to understand that, you just got to make sure that you're not advertising. Advertising would be putting pictures of Ambertos and Manatech and all that stuff on your website and doing all that jazz. Marketing would be all about you. It'd be about getting to know the other person, and then who are you in relationship to the other person when they start asking questions. Number four, the fourth principle, keep it social and engage your audience. Remember, number one, you got to remember that Twitter, Facebook, YouTube are all social sites. People are not there to be sold. If you have a yellow highlight, highlight that one line. It is so critical. So in other words, when you go jump into this 550 million people on Facebook, it's not about you selling them all. That's not the way it happens. You think about the same thing if you went on a golf outing with people. People don't invite you to go golfing with them to be sold. People don't invite you to go to social luncheon to be sold. So, you know, it's kind of that sleazy, salesy, you know, advertising stuff that people of the past, and that's not what this is about. Same thing applies to social media sites. People are there to be social. That's why they're called social media sites. So it's about getting to know other people. It's about mingling and mixing and finding out other people. So the people aren't there to be sold, so don't sell them, otherwise you'll shut them off, and then you lose potential connections with them. So the concept, or she made a statement I think is real big too, you want to be sharing more socially than commercially. If you find yourself doing more commercial, then you've already lost the whole value of what Facebook presents for you. So how do you share socially before you get into the business part of it? Well, you've got to look at what are your areas of interest, because there's so many different places you can go depending on what your interest is. Your travel, cooking, hiking, biking, sewing, whatever it might be. You might have 101 different things that you're interested in. And you want to create engaging conversations with people who have like interests. And that's very much like the same thing when we're working with people offline. One of the number one things that even Michael Oliver talks about in natural selling is the fact that we talk to people and ask them a lot of questions, and one of the main purposes is to find commonality. For the same reason that you know that if I call somebody cold, is that a lot harder conversation than if I get a referral from somebody so I can start off the conversation. Hello, is this John? John, this is Sarah Peacock, and I'm a friend of Peter's. Whatever, right? And Peter, he says he's known you for ages, and he goes, yeah, I know Peter. So right away, guess what? You have a connectiveness because you got a referral. So there's a commonality that comes right out of that. That's why I love referrals, because I can talk and we can laugh about Peter for the first 5 minutes of the conversation and have a lot of fun with it. So that's a blast, because it breaks down the wall. So if you don't have commonality, what happens? There's the wall. So how do you start chipping away at the wall? By finding commonality. So if you don't enter a conversation with commonality, you find it. So that's why you start sharing your levels of interest, because people with common interests will come after you, and then you have something you can talk about. And that's going to help you develop that relationship with that person. So you want to make sure that you're doing this on a consistent basis, putting yourself out there of areas of likes that you can have engaging conversations on. Once you get to that engaging conversation, then, of course, things run from there right to Manitech, Amber Toes, All-Star, National Director, Executive Director, Presidential Director. Okay? It's all a progression, but you got to start somewhere. And it starts with, and it's funny because you're going, well, Mary Jo, you mean, so I'm going to start talking about biking, and all of a sudden I'm going to create a Presidential Director of my downline from a discussion on biking. Absolutely. That's exactly how this business works. Now, there might be some topics of conversation that you wouldn't want to put down, right? This applies not only to your social conversation, and when you start talking about yourself or any kind of blogging you do, or posting of articles, or, you know, writing on people's walls. There was a good article in Network Marketing Times that a gentleman wrote, and he said there are 5 topics you never discuss. Now, we might agree or disagree with these, but I'm just telling you what he wrote up. And some of them I agree with, and of course there's one I don't agree with, but that's just because of who I am. But he said there are 5 topics you never discuss. You should never post content on anybody's website, never discuss any of the following 5 topics. And those are sex, politics, religion, sports, or anything negative. Okay? So, the first one we get. I mean, you're going to put people off the minute you start talking, and they're going to think you're some kind of pervert on the website. So I would just stay away from it. There's no necessity for it. This also applies to what picture you put out there. And we'll talk about pictures in a minute. I have a stepdaughter whose picture, I was really honest with her. I said, you know, that picture makes you look like a vamp. If you're familiar with that. And I mean, there's no way in the world I want 550 million people looking at me thinking I'm a vamp, right? I mean, you just don't want to, unless that's the image you're trying to cast. And maybe she is. She's in her 20s. She has 3 kids, on her 3rd kid, and maybe that's what she wants. But I said it sure isn't God-honoring when you operate from that side. So anyway, but sex, too, you don't want to talk about it because, again, people don't know you, and if the first thing they hear you talking about is something like that and you're that open about it, you know, they're going to shy away because you're going to scare them. Politics, another thing, one of the hottest topics out there. In our country today, if you're not the right party, people hate you. I mean, it's just awful. It's so awful what we've created here. We don't love one another as all Americans. We are and a lot of that's bred by what's on television and stuff. I mean, I just think our discourse in the political arena has gotten so horrible. It's like, shut me down. I don't want anything to do with it because it's so negative and it's so nasty. And I'm not about nasty. And so it didn't matter what political party I was, I still love the other people in the other party. But that's not where we're at today in this world. So you want to stay away from politics because you're going to lose half of your audience in 5 seconds flat. And you don't want to do that. Remember, what's social media about? It's about leveraging to get your time and to get the most massive number of contacts from it. So you don't want to immediately restrict yourself to only half the population before you even open your mouth. Religion is a third one, he said. And now this is where I would differ a little bit, but I think he's probably right that you're going to be out there. If you start posting a lot of religious stuff, you're going to have some impact on people that aren't interested at all. That's a choice you can make. It's very hard for me. I may not post something highly religious or spiritual, but I probably will end up mentioning God somewhere in my communication to people because that's number one in my life. So it's very hard, and I can't ignore number one in my life. So we just know the idea here. For me, it's more of I'm not going to do preaching on the internet, okay? And that's important for us not to do. It's about loving on people and being open to one, no matter what they're. And of course, I am that way. I have tremendous friends who are Muslims, who are Jews, whatever your religion is, that's your choice. I love you anyway because that's what Christ would do. So it's important to me I'm not out there, you know, in judgment and condemnation, and very critical that everybody gets that. Sports is another topic he said don't list, and one of the reasons why you don't want to list sports is because you're going to shut down the people that are for the other guy. Just like, you know, if I go on the internet and I start social media and I start going crazy about the Green Bay Packers beating up on those Pittsburgh Steelers and all that kind of, there are going to be some Pittsburgh fans. I even got an email from one of you on the Monday call saying, well, Mary Jo, I'm really happy for you, but I'm a Pittsburgh fan. And you know my heart, so none of you would take offense to it because you know who I am. But if you didn't know me, you might see something like that on a Facebook and you're right away on a wall and you're going to, a posting or an article or something, and you're going to right away shut down and not want to deal with me because you're going to go, she's one of those obnoxious Green Bay Packer fans or whatever you might want to say, right? And by the way, my Wisconsin team just beat Ohio State, number one in the country in basketball. So I just had another gigantic weekend. For those of you who don't keep up with sports, I thought I'd highlight that. That was my alma mater, University of Wisconsin, Madison. So anyway, that's the kind of thing you don't want to do, no matter how excited you are, no matter how much you enjoy it. And you can say, well, but Mary Jo, but that's one of my areas of interest. Well, sports can be your area of interest without having stifle yourself a little bit about your, die hard nature towards a specific team so that you don't. So when people say, well, who do you support? Well, probably my favorite team is Green Bay, instead of going, oh my gosh, there's no one in the league except Green Bay Packers. I mean, no one else matters. You see the difference in the commentary. So people always would expect you to have an opinion on who you might like the best. But when you go out there and that's how you approach the whole topic that way, it's a totally different approach. And that's what he's trying to say here. And then the last topic he said that you never bring up is anything negative. And boy, that's going to be tough for some people on this phone call today because you're still fighting that whole negativity approach. And I'm going to tell you that it's just not about social media. It's about everything in life. It's, one of the things you learned as a kid, I know because my parents taught it to us and your parents taught it to you and every parent teaches it. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. How many times did you hear that as a child? And the reality is, it's so true. Imagine what this country would be like if we really just abided by that one principle. My gosh, we might get something done in this country, because then instead of everybody slaughtering each other, everybody be working for a common good. I mean, it's just amazing if we could put our energy in a direction to solution instead of slaughter. And that's what we need to be talking about. We don't want to bring any negativity in the situation. So don't allow that to happen. And it's kind of like when people like to whine or something, you say, you know what, if you want to talk to me about a problem, don't present it to me without coming up with a good solution. What a wonderful thing to say. A lot of people manage their companies that way. It's a great leadership skill. It's in a lot of the management books. That when people have problems in the organization, you address every problem you have in the organization, but you empower people to be solution-oriented. Because what happens when you come from solution instead of problem? Total positive attitude, total positive energy, total positive direction. When you come from problem, it's whiny, it's negative. So So you the same way. You know, you can. Does that mean you can't address a problem in a blog or a article or a writing on a wall or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. But address it from a solution orientation, a positive orientation instead of negative. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so you got the idea of the five things you never participate in, never discuss with anyone on social media: sex, politics, religion, sports, and you never put down anything negative. Okay, the next fifth item that I want to talk about, or fifth principle that she talks about, is develop a consistent message and brand. And this gets into some ideas that I brought forth in another training I did for all of you on a Monday, which is branding yourself on the Internet, because that's really what you're doing. Because, again, 550 million people out there, how many do you know? Well, less than 101%, probably, right? Less than 0.01% do you really actually even, or even less than that. I mean, you don't know a lot. So all these people, the majority, like by 99.9999%, don't have any clue who you are. So whatever you put on the Internet becomes what? Who you are. In their eyes, it becomes who you are. So you're it's like painting a picture of you to them. And they're going to come up with assumptions about who you are based on everything that you put down. So the one thing you want to do is you want to decide what that brand is going to be. Because on social media, your best product is you. And it's your brand that makes you stand out from anyone else. So you've got to start down and saying, okay, so if I am my best brand, I am my brand, what is my brand? What am I? Who am I? Now, that's a crisis for a lot of people because they don't know. They haven't quite figured that out. And when people tell me, well, Mary Jo, I'm going to just take some time off and go find myself. And I go, where are you going to look? You're right here. And they look at me and they go, well, yeah, but I didn't need to just really. And I go, great. I said, what do you think you're going to find out there? I said, the one thing you got to understand in life is this, that we live by choice. So going out and searching to find out who you are is kind of a ridiculous concept in the fact that who you are is who you choose to be. You make choices of who you are. So you might want to take some time philosophizing on who you're going to choose to be. In other words, how you're going to paint that picture of who you're going to be. And then work on being that, your beingness. But that's really not about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. Life is like art. We create ourselves. So we make choices about who we're going to be. So you look at yourself and you say, okay, what are my unique strengths? As I see myself today, what are my unique strengths? So you can start putting those down in a picture format. Well, who are we? Who are you? What is your unique asset that you have to offer to people? All right? And then your goal is to develop your brand around that. So you've got to draw that picture. You've got to make choices. But if you're one way today and you're saying, well, Mary Jo, I'm choosing to totally turn the page. I'm going to get rid of all negativity and only select positive. I'm going to get rid of all of my judgment and I'm going to come from total openness, blank slate. I'm going to get rid of all of my poor listening skills and I'm going to become the world's greatest listener. You know, and you can say, and I said, those are great choices to make. Now, how are you going to conquer all those? That's why even in my Marketing Mania class, my first 2 weeks and my entire course is about self-development, and there's an underlying thread that everybody's working on a plan, how they're shifting to get rid of the stuff in their life that's holding them back, to empty the rocks out of their knapsacks they're carrying around. Because until you do that, you're always going to be limiting your productivity and your effectiveness in building relationships with other people. So you can make that decision that you're going to change all those things, but if you go on a social networking site and you go, this is who I am, and it's who you're choosing to be, but you're not there yet, you better be really careful every time you post something. You better have that list of all those characteristics that you're choosing to be and put that right next to every single time you post. Whew, take that list out. because you got to start analyzing what you're saying of your old self and what your choices of who your new person is, that you make sure you're consistent. Because the reality of social marketing is that you're a brand, and the most important thing that you can do, the most important thing that you must do is to be consistent within that brand. Because people who see inconsistency are going to go, I have no clue who this person is. One day she's here, the next day she's here, the next day she's here. Zip, end of friendship, next. They'll go find somebody else to connect with because they have no clue who you are. So your brand has to be identifiable. It has to be consistent. And you need to be consistent in everything you post, everything you do on there. And that's what makes social media very different from what we do every day, because sometimes when our behavior can be inconsistent, but people who know you and love you or care about you in your media environment can handle some of that because they are right back with you. But when you're dealing in an audience of 550 million, they can toss you aside like a shell on the beach, right? So you just toss it aside and find something better one, because this one's got too many cracks and too many breaks in it, and I have no clue whether it's going to restore itself. So you've got to be careful. So make that stance. Get your strengths down. Get your unique asset. Develop your brand, who you are, and your message you want to deliver to your audience. And that brand can be many different things, but you've got to decide, and you've got to be consistent with it. And some people will say, well, Mary Jo, what if I've already screwed all that up and I've gone on? That's okay. There are 550 million people out there. I guarantee you haven't gone through half of them yet. In other words, you haven't even hit less than 0.01% of them yet, so don't worry about it. But just start anew. Go back and examine your site. Look at your profile. Look at your postings and say, okay, so what am I going to be more consistent with? And there's some people out there, Doug Feuerbach, I think, and you can look at Terry Petrovic. You can look at some websites out there and some Facebooks out there, the people that are kind of masterful at this. I mean, they take pride in it. That's what they're – in fact, Terry Petrovic's whole thing is that he's a social media trainer. I mean, that's his mantra. That's his part of who he is, and a self-development guy. That's his ideas of who he is. That's his uniqueness, his brand. So you can go and peek at his website and see what he's done there. His Facebook and see what he's done on that. So, again, remember how important that your profile is part of your brand as well. On your profile page, who you are and what you do, you shouldn't be mentioning Ambertos and Manatech and all those things, because then you're advertising again. Remember, this is marketing, not advertising. Remembering the difference. We do everything on Facebook without mentioning the name of our company or our products. You want to make sure you're listing what challenges you solve or who or what you are looking for online. So again, what challenges do you solve? Well, if you're in Manatech, one of the challenges is that you just have a heart and passion to help people understand the critical importance of, honoring their own physical bodies, that truly they can have incredible longevity. And you can say this differently depending on what age group you're in. It's amazing the lingo of the 20-year-olds today compared to the 30, compared to the 50s. We're all different. We all have different languaging that we've developed during our time of years on Earth, and you want to be you. So if you're a 55-year-old or 60-year-old like me, you don't want to put language on my social media page and build a brand around 20-year-old languaging. Now I look like a real phony. I mean, people will call it as a little suspect, I'm a grandmother. I have 6 grandkids, 1 and a 7th on its way. I'm not going to come across like a 20-year-old. Does that mean I'm not going to market to 20-year-olds? No, but I'm not going to give them an impression that I'm something I'm not. I can relate to them at their levels, but I'm still a grandmother, and I'm proud of it. I love being a I love my grandkids. So it's a different scenario for us. So, but you want to be who you're going to be, again, and market to the group that you're choosing and aiming at. Your keywords and content is what you want to intrigue your audience with. So you want to make sure, and people, a lot of this I haven't done exactly myself too, so that's why I think this stuff is really invaluable, because we can all learn from it and go back and rehash, rework what we've done out there. But you want to use keywords and content that intrigues your audience to want to find out more. And keywords are important because it's how do I, and somebody say, well, Mary Jo, how do you determine keywords? My first question to you is, well, let me ask you a question. What language, if you found on a web page or a profile, would you be fascinated with? Separate yourself out and pretend like you're an independent third party reading that language and say, what words, if they would have written it like this, would I be more intrigued? Follow me? So develop your own intriguing words. If you have some questions about it, this is what I suggest you do. I mean, you can send them to Mary Jo. I'll be more than happy to look at them because I'm fairly good at just totally, I call it blank slate. I love doing that with people. I just, when people, even when I do coaching calls with people, I'll say, you know what, if you said that to me, I'd be totally shut down because it confuses me. And that's how I like to respond to people but you find the independent third parties that don't know anything about Manitowoc or don't know anything, just say, hey, would you look at this? If you found something like this, would it intrigue you? And just get some feedback. People, our whole life should be about searching for feedback because feedback is just somebody else's opinion, but it opens your eyes because you can't come from that independent judgment by yourself. You need feedback. One of the reasons I love having Lydia around is I give her all the sorts of things. I say, Lydia, look at this and give me some feedback. Look at this email. What do you think about it? I didn't used to do that. I used to be such a solo operator because that's what lawyering did for me, or did to me, I should say. Or I don't want to go victim to being a lawyer, but lawyers have a tendency to be solo operators. Their egos are so great that they end up not really looking at help from 10 different directions, even though it's all around them. So I had to phase out of that part of my life because, remember, life is choice. That's not who I am. It's who I was choosing to be in that environment. So same here. You want to make sure that you're not a solo operator. Get some feedback from people. And that will create the greatest and best results, because is it not true that you want to get the greatest and best results? I don't think anyone on this call is trying to do something ineffectively. But if you can get feedback and you can draft language that's going to be more effective, then everybody around you that you've asked feedback has been a contribution to you to help you be the best. All right? And then your idea is not to sell on your social site, but to get others to intrigued, and then you're going to get them to go to your business site. The idea is intrigue them so that they can go to a business site independent of Facebook. Facebook is just a social media site. That's all you're doing there is you're building connections. And don't ever forget that. And that's where so many people abuse it. And in summary of all we talked about today, it's on social sites, others judge and evaluate you based on the value that you bring to the conversation. That is another thing you should highlight in the outline today. Now, one of the other things, so that's kind of going through what she wrapped up in Network Marketing Times. I think they're all great concepts, great ideas. It's given me a lot of meat to go back, and I'm redoing some things on my profile and everything, and Lydia and I are going to work on that this week, and I'm getting prepared to do trainings on that in the Marketing Mania group as well. But it's important for us to be refreshed and understand and continue to look at those issues because we sometimes get lost in it, and I think a lot of us get lost in timing. I talk to so many people that say, oh, I was on Facebook for about 4 hours today. And I go, what? I gasp. I don't have 4 hours to do that. Probably one of my preferences, because I love to deal with real people on a day-to-day basis. Every moment I can be around people is a joy to me. So Facebook would drive me crazy because it's so impersonal. I rather have the personal touch. But I do understand that people get caught up in it, and I think it's a trap, so be careful. Let me go through the other sheet that Lydia sent out to all of you in advance of the meeting was something that was done by, I think, Jennifer Fong. And some of you might wonder who Jennifer Fong is. Jennifer Fong is a gal who actually Manitowoc, I believe, hired her to be at ManaQuest on a Sunday. They did a day training on social networking, and I'm going to give you her website. It's Jen, J-E-N, Fong, F-O-N-G, Speaks, SPEAKS.com. JenFongSpeaks.com. She has free trainings there. She has a lot of material you can print off and free trainings and free articles on social media. And she has quite a good grouping of materials there that you can use to learn more. And I just suggest you go and hit her site and participate in some of that. because that's going to help you be the best you can be. Again, if you have done this before and you didn't take off right, you may want to start over and just say, okay, I'm going to start from scratch. 2-3 years ago, I wasn't telling people I thought it was a must. Today, I'm telling you I think it's a must. I think we all need to participate at a level. And if some of you are going, but Mary Jo, I'm 65, 70 years old. What do I need to deal with that stuff for? And I go, you know what? Come on in. Put your foot in the water. It's fine. There are no crocodiles out there to bite you. And you'll probably enjoy it. So just, again, don't get trapped by it. But the 9 things you're doing wrong on your social networks, and I'll just run through those quickly because we have a little bit of time left. And these are important too. It's just as important to do understand those 5 basic principles to social media. It's important to know things that you're doing wrong. Number 1, skipping the spell and grammar check. And why is that wrong? Because it's going to make you look unprofessional. People will tend to ignore you just because of typos and misspells and all that kind of stuff. If it takes you 2 extra seconds to do a grammar check or a spell check, then just do it. I know that I get irate about it too. Whenever I see something go out that's got a spelling error, and that happens in some of my Monday call outlines as well, because I just get too busy and I don't go back. And I just embarrassed. It's embarrassing to me because I always want to look as professional as possible. So you want to make sure that you don't send things out there that have really poor grammar or have problems with spell checks. It's a big deal for other people, and you're going to lose people just on that one issue alone. Because people have a lot of judgment about that, a lot. And most college graduates will have nothing to do with somebody who doesn't have decent grammar or spelling. All right, so that's that group of people you just lost. So don't skip the spell check and grammar. Another mistake that people make is adding people to groups without permission. And that happens to me. I all of a sudden get inundated with a bunch of emails from Facebook hits on a site I never signed up for. And the biggest area I saw it was Mexico. Al Bala, I think, signed me up for about 3 or 4 different sites. And I was like, what is all this stuff? Now, I appreciate him, and I love Al Bala. I mean, I think he's a blast, and he's doing a heck of a job for this company, especially when it comes to international operations. But the problem is that it's an insult because we get an onslaught of emails in our email bank and then we shut down. So I definitely am sensitive to this issue because I've been victimized by it. So you don't want to ever add people to groups without their permission because you'll lose them. And this is a business about making connections and keeping connections, not losing them. 3, sending friend requests to business contacts without adding a personal message. This is just common sense. It's just being polite. Whenever I refer people, I always will do a personal connection with it. So always the same applies when you're working on social media. You should always send a personal message with friend requests, especially if that person is a business contact or doesn't know you personally. Okay? So don't make that mistake. Be professional. 4, using a profile picture that isn't your face. I love this. When you go to people's profiles and there's a dog or a cat or somebody, you know, a bowling alley or something, that is so wrong. It's just a wrong thing to do on social networks. The profile should be you. It'll make your job easier when it comes to building relationships online if you have a face to connect with. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I just redid my business cards and I put a picture of myself on the business card. I hadn't done that in the 11 years that I've been, 12 years I've been with Manatech. I never had a picture, my own picture on my business card. And I'm now doing that. Because I believe I've read enough stuff and I've been trained enough and saying, you know, it's very important to make that connectiveness with people because then they won't tend to throw your business card away because they feel like they're throwing you away. So there's a connectiveness there. So same thing on social media. You want to have a picture there so people can connect with you. 5, pitching your opportunity to the world as a status update. Never. Again, it's not about advertising. You're going to annoy people when you do that. And there are enough people that are doing that already, and you can see how annoying it is. People just flee. They just run away. Because why? Social media is a social site. They're not getting there to get slammed. So don't do it. 6, providing your commentary on your political and religious views for all your business contacts to see. Again, remember what the other guy said? 2 of the 5 topics are politics and religion. You want to target your updates so only your personal friends and family see them. If you want to share that stuff on Facebook, that's what you want to do. Limit it. because it can be a real turnoff to people who are business contacts, so you don't want to lose those contacts. 7, a close second to this is liking Facebook pages and causes that present the same strong political religious views. You know, we display on our profile pages, on our Facebook page, of other sites that we like. And when you put things on there that are questionable or that are really make severe statements, you're going to be reflecting that. And that's going to cause you to lose people as well. So, again, is this wrong if you were just building a social site to say, this is who I am and these are all my strong beliefs, and if you like it or if you don't like it, who cares? I mean, that's a different purpose, because you'll see people doing that in a lot of social websites. But if you're using social media for marketing, remember, that's our topic. How do I use social media for marketing? Then these kind of activities become inappropriate. And then share all your apps with the world. That's another problem. You can go into your privacy settings and choose apps and websites. In the game and app activity section, you can set who sees these updates. So you can limit who that goes to as well, so it's not a continuous news feed from you. And then 9, another mistake people make is change status updates. There is nothing worse than those updates that basically say to your friends, if you don't copy and paste this as your own status update, then you're an insensitive, unfeeling pile of doo-doo. You know, I mean, that's just rude. How many times do you get that? I get people that send me emails sometimes that say, if you don't forward this, you don't like people or something. They try to manipulate your behavior by insulting you. It's like, oh, come on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. People, it's just, so don't do that on your social media as well. It's going to be as highly disliked as it is when you do it through the Internet, when you send it to the Internet. Okay, so that covers those 9 things that you definitely want to stay away from and not count. And again, I handed that out to you as well. Go to Jen Fogg's website if you'd like to and learn more there. It's just social media is definitely our future, people. It's our today and it's our future. It's not getting smaller. It's only getting larger. And it's really critical that you learn how to use it and use it effectively. So again, it's not, you can go on the website and you can say, well, I'm not going to use it for marketing, which is what I originally did, but now, because I got on just because I was in connection with a couple of people in Europe. But now with Lydia aiming in that direction more so and more so with me, you know, we're redrafting the profile. We're going to put some new things on there, and we're going to start aiming towards really having a professional Facebook page that will market to people and will start connecting with people on the Internet. So social media is here to stay, and if I can jump into it with 2 feet, so can anybody else. And so let's all make sure that we're doing it right and feeding the right information. Anyone have any? We're done for the day. Anyone have any last minute comments? Anyone want to comment about how they're using social media? Go ahead.
Mary Jo, it's Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. One thing I just want to add is that there is the ability now. They used to call it fan pages. Now they call it business pages. So you can keep your personal Facebook pages, just your friends and family where you're posting pictures and, you know, whatever. And then you can set up through your personal page, you go to accounts and there's something where it's like you can set up a separate business page.
Great.
And
great.
That's nice, because then you really can pretty much keep the two separate. And there is a little bit more leeway on a business page for putting up business information.
Great, 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 great. But again, remembering that, and that's a great thing to do, because it's the majority of people on Facebook aren't looking at businesses, but those who are, they have the opportunity to do that. And you're not throwing it in their face without them being aware of it, because it's called business page, right?
Yeah.
And that's great. Super. Great breakout. Thanks for the insight. Anyone else? Great. Well, listen, you guys, everybody get out there. It's a great opportunity to do it. You should be on there and making some headway. I've read a number of articles in the Network Marketing Times this last month were about people who are effectively doing it. In fact, there's one gal who is like the top of her network marketing organization. I mean, the whole company, like a Ray Robbins would be to us, who says that Facebook is her most crucial place to market. And she doesn't go after hundreds of thousands of people. She tries to, you know, develop one at a time. So it's, but she says it's invaluable to her, and she does it by attracting people with her lifestyle. You know, that's what her lifestyle is, what's intriguing to people, and then people get in contact with her because of that, and that's how she gets people started. So whatever it takes, let's go out and do it and have fun with it, enjoy it, and let's see who you can you know, make connections with on social media sites. All right, everybody, love you. Have a great week. Let's work. Don't forget, manifest. Get as many people as you can. All right, bye-bye.